The scripture, Samuel 2, verse 1 through 10. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord. No one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out of bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might does one prevail. The Lord, his adversary, shall be shattered. The Most High and will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalted the power of his anointed." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you. Would you please join with me in prayer? Thank you, Lord, for this word. It's alive. It's active. Not simply ink on page, but your word in our hearts. Help us to be open now to how you speak, and challenge and stretch and love us. It's in the name of our Savior that we pray. Amen. Have you ever had a particular sports figure that you didn't think got enough credit? You know, you thought that they were the best shortstop in the league. They're a lot better than that bum who got the all-star pick. My quarterback is a lot better. They're the best one in the NFL. This goalie, nobody appreciates him. Without him, that team would be in the dump. Anybody? Yeah. Yeah, and it just infuriates you. Whenever you think that another player is getting undue credit or more credit than they deserve. That's why whenever we look at the book of Samuel, believe it or not, it might be a little bit puzzling why it's even called the book of Samuel and why there's a first and second Samuel. Because if you start reading it, the main character quickly becomes David, King David, not Samuel. We want to now hold it. Who's getting the proper credit here? Samuel, as it turns out, deserved to have a book named after him, no question, in the biblical accounts. And however it came to pass and however it came to be that we had a first and second Samuel, however that was divided and however the oral tradition combined with the written tradition and over the years and years and years of editing, it became first and second Samuel. Samuel was the key person in a very critical time in the life of the people of God. A very critical time. Do you think that we're going through critical times right now in the world? Challenging times? That's why the church is more important now than ever. And that's why the Word of God is more essential now than ever to be able to consider, to be able to look at. to be able to gather information and focus from for what we are called to do. Samuel was a pivotal moral, spiritual, religious leader at a time whenever the people of God were kind of a confederation of tribes and just starting to pull together and just starting to actually be a nation. He was sent into a time whenever even the temple was in disarray. We understand if we look at the scripture passages right before this scripture passage, right at the beginning of 1 Samuel, we understand that the temple was in disarray, that the priests had lost their way and they were actually stealing from the people. They were no longer focused on God, but just focused on satisfying their own needs. And into this, in a very miraculous way, Samuel arrives. That's not a sign from God. I'm going to keep preaching. And that's not an app either. Thank you so much. For us, I'd like us to just take a few moments to think about a time in our lives when things were in disarray. It may be right now. That's okay. This is the right place to be. We're not looking for perfect people here. We're looking for people who are open to the perfect God and God's grace and love. Thinking about a time in our lives whenever there was brokenness, when there was disarray, and then in hindsight, as believers, as Christians, we start thinking about how God broke in or how God was subtle in his work, in his touch upon us, and then we realized it. I think for me, that's what's happened more often than not. God's subtlety in working in my life. I don't know if you've ever known someone who is hard-headed. Now, you don't have to point to the person or nudge them. Please don't do that. Every time I say that, I see people going, oh, like this, all over the congregation, or people going, you know, God works in subtle ways because sometimes we have our mind convinced about what is right. And so God then works in a subtle way and in a gradual way. We don't even realize it until afterwards. And then the light bulb goes on. We recognize that God, in his grace and in his love and in his power and glory, has been working to bring healing into whatever brokenness we were sitting in. Hannah, you see, was without child and was not able to have children. And for year after year after year, this was the situation. And in the midst of all these tribes fighting and people turning away from God, God chose someone, a very unlikely person, to bring about hope. To not only bless that life that he was at work in, but to bless those lives of all of those around her and also generations to come. In fact, it was because of the miraculous working of God in the life of Hannah that we are here today. God bringing from Hannah, blessing her with child after years of weeping and years of prayer and yet years of continuing to be faithful to God is a miracle. And miracles still do happen today, but this is one of those miracles that the Bible speaks of. It's easy to see in a little baby a miracle, isn't it? Whenever we see that child or when we have a baptism here, wonderful, wonderful presence of God. And yet, for us, we need to recognize that God continues to work in the miracle of that life. And we were one of those miracles at one time. Everybody here, a baby at one point in their life? I just wanted to make sure that nobody's landed or anything else. Everybody here was a baby at one point, okay? So you were that miracle, and you still are. And in the child of Samuel, Hannah rejoices. But it's not simply a song about, Lord, thank you, you've been so good to me. It's a song that exalts God and places God in his proper place. It's funny, isn't it, whenever you hear that, whenever you hear those words, placing God in his proper place, as though we have that right or that ability. But it's still, nonetheless, what happened. Hannah sings out these words that our sister in Christ read, and they are wonderful, wonderful words to hear. My heart exults in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. He makes them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. The pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. Now see, there was an understanding that the earth was built like other structures. Metaphorically, allegorically, there are these pillars, and the earth is on it. And that's the foundation. God has laid the foundation of the earth. God was right there from the beginning. God continues to be there now. Before we came into being, God was. And after we go on to glory, God will continue to be. Samuel, being brought into the midst of this turmoil, eventually paved the way for David, who eventually paved the way for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amazing how through a surprising person, nobody expected, through a miraculous happening, in a time of great challenge and darkness, God worked and blessed the world. A.W. Tozer says that it's right when we said that what we think about God is the most important thing about us. If we view God as a tyrant, then we'll filter everything through this lens. If we view God as a God of grace, then we'll be open to the miracles that are all around us. What I would invite you to do today in our time of discipleship is to simply be thinking about the God who is more powerful than you can imagine. Not as a God ready to slap your wrist. And certainly there's accountability in the Christian walk. No question about it. But a God who is at work in the midst of brokenness that you might be facing right now. A God, and I'd like you to remember in our time of discipleship also, a God who was at work in times of brokenness that you'd faced before. And I'd like you to think about then, since that God was at work then and is at work now, think about the God that's going to be at work in the future. Maybe it's not in a way that was so dramatic and miraculous as Hannah giving birth to Samuel and then offering him. Maybe it's a more subtle way. I'd like you to take a few moments today just to think about the God who is more powerful than you can imagine. The God that is more loving than you can imagine. The God that is more full of grace than you can imagine. Take a few moments with me right now and just think about that God and humble yourself before him.